At the same time, they're having religious communities of women. For 200 years, as again the Holy Father told a bishop friend of mine, and the bishop told me, the Pope wept, Paul VI again, he wept. What has happened to the sisters in the United States? What's happened to them? In Detroit, one community, I'm sure I've told you this before, well, then Cardinal Dearden, like in the mid-spring, very nice letter, fine letterhead, I know the community. The enclosed list will give you the 31 parish schools which we are leaving this fall. Got nobody's permission. Nobody. As one of them wrote, great big, full-page article in the newspaper, we are sick and tired of being nursemaids to other people's children. The wonder is it took so long for the 40 parishes to be closed in Detroit. So I want to emphasize, in other words, the Holy Spirit is teaching us something in our day. In other words, the power, in the best sense of the word, of women to, and we men need the inspiration of women brought up by a widowed mother and women boarders till I was 16. So. Finally, the 26th day, appearance to Peter and the disciples of Emmaus, institution of the sacrament of confession. Notice, Christ did appear to Peter. Later on, as you know, our Lord appeared to, well, came to all the disciples, including Peter, which we'll take up in a later meditation. But then, selectively, Christ chose to appear to Peter. And Peter needed that kind of encouragement. He was not discarded by Christ because he had denied the Master. Then the disciples of Emmaus. Remember, Easter Sunday, two disciples walking along the road. Christ comes up behind them. What are you talking about? As though he didn't know. Let me tell him. Jesus of Nazareth, have you heard about him? We thought he was the Messiah. But our own leaders killed him. And now some women said that he rose from the dead. Who remembers what Christ told them? Oh, you of little faith. Was it not necessary, that's the word, for the Messiah to first suffer and then rise from the dead? And then Luke, who tells the narrative. Remember this. Then St. Luke says, the evangelist describing how our Lord, remember, shall we see, allowed himself to be persuaded to, well, sit down with the disciples, two of them. And then, Luke's favorite phrase for the Eucharist, a breaking of bread. In other words, good to know. Our Lord celebrated the Mass. Hear it. On Holy Thursday night and Easter Sunday morning. How's that? And they recognized him. Yeah. He vanished. And they rushed back to the others and tell them what they had seen. And finally, and very importantly, the institution of the sacrament of confession. First chapter of John's Gospel. Pardon me. 20th chapter. 20th chapter of John. There are certain passages in Scripture that the Church has officially defined after their meaning. This is one of them. In other words, the Council of Trent defined that Christ instituted the sacrament of confession on Easter Sunday night when he appeared to the apostles and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain or do not forgive, they are not forgiven them. And the Church's logic, first of all, confession of sins goes to the first century. There's one resolution I'd urge all of you to make, is frequent confession. How frequent? At the very least, once a month. Better, twice a month. And you know the Church's law on indulgences tells us to gain a plenary indulgence, which we can gain every day, we must have received communion and the ordinary confession within 8 days, either before or after, whatever the indulgence, prayer, or act of piety was. Now, the problem there is, you know, is to find a priest and scout around. And I'm telling you this. And it's being recorded. Come on, Moran, you want to go to confession? Even if I'm not around. Of course, I should be in Detroit. I'm going to ask you to travel to another city. I wish I could give absolution over the telephone. Can't be done. Find priests who are willing to hear your confession and not, as so many people have told me, called on by the priest. Where do you say the last time you went to confession was? 2 weeks ago. Are you serious? The priest asks. Come around when you've got something to confess. I think I've told you, haven't I? I've gone to confession to priests that I hadn't known. Go to confession. Tell my sins, then. I wait for absolution. He does not know the formula. I think I told you this, didn't I? More than once, I tell the priest, repeat after me. Now, this is serious because this is, you know, I can talk this way to you people, but you're in the world as much as I am. You know what's going on. Believe me, I sure do. And, closing comment. The sacrament of penance, one name. Sacrament of confession, another name. But the sacrament of peace. Peace. Remember, I think on some occasion we defined what peace of heart means. Peace of heart means that my will is conformed to the divine will, and I've got peace of heart. If there's anything that torments the human heart, it is the sense of guilt. This is where this sacrament is such a precious, precious gift. Infallibly sure we are, no matter what we may have done, once we get absolution, we get a belief. But the priest of a sinner, being a priest myself, believe me, priests are sinners. Nevertheless, have the power to forgive sins. And the peace that results is simply indescribable. Of all people, the unbeliever, Sigmund Freud, I may have mentioned this on some occasion, some 25 years of psychiatric practice, he said, he does not remember a single person whom he ever treated or counseled whose basic cause of emotional disturbance was not a sense of guilt. That's Freud. Now, he did not even believe in a personal God. But we believe in God and believe that God became man and instituted the sacrament. That's why twice Christ told the apostles, peace be with you. And repeated, peace be with you. Over the years, I've told people, somebody separated from God, where can I see him? But he doesn't want to go to confession. It has nothing to do with it. Where is he? You know, at the 26th day, which I think carries us to Monday, right? And now, whom am I seeing this evening? 1, 2, 3. Mama, have I? Would you people mind? Because I've got the call from Washington again at 9 o'clock. But then, look, that's why I'm here, you know, to be of service. So, takes a little longer. So what? Okay? Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us with every force.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Now, I noticed several of you put up your hands about, you know, talking things over. I really mean it. I've had my office almost finished, so 11 o'clock, 11:30, I'm here. Okay.
we're not absolutely sure. In other words, 613 or other laws which the Jews had, were they divinely inspired? Not necessarily. No less than we have to say that polygamy, remember, polygamy among the Jews was a pest. Yes. Was it part of the Mosaic law? Yes. Was Moses acting under divine inspiration when he allowed polygamy? We're not sure. So, what are the needs and or opportunities to do catechesis in cooperation with the Missions of Charity in Russia and Poland? Well, that's why I went to Russia. Wide open. In other words, when the Holy Father told Mother Teresa 8 years ago that he wants her sisters to become catechists themselves and train other catechists. That's what I've been doing for 8 years. That's why we have Ignatian Marian catechists. Because the Holy Father realizes there's no way the faith can be either preserved or promoted without involving the laity in depth. So yes. Now, what I'm doing, for example, is teaching the Missionaries of Charity, and if I weren't here, I'd be downstairs working on the explanations, the manuscript, about 600 pages finished, about at least 300 pages still to go, and the pages should be finished by early March. 300 pages to be written by yours truly. Because the Missionaries of Charity need the explanations of those 2,000 questions. Whether they have a true or false or multiple choice, somebody has to understand what's behind the answer. So, yes. And what the Missionaries of Charity are doing is we're training catechists. And they've got over 40,000 under instruction in Calcutta alone. So, in other words, the Holy Father wants the Catholic Church's future to depend, and certainly numerically, mainly on lay catechists. I've never put it so bluntly. And the Missionaries of Charity, well, this is just one evidence of the Holy Father's concern. Ordered the founders to change their constitutions. So they're still caring for the materially poor people, where the constitutions now read, as I may have told you, the free and wholehearted service of the spiritually and physically poorest of the poor. And first, the spiritually poorest of the poor. So, that's where the, and not for the alien, the Missionaries of Charity are in 104 countries. So, just let me know you're willing and sky's the limit. Does it seem that most missionary priests today are hooking their catechists into liberation theology? I'm not sure. The question first had many missionary priests, and now it's most. I would say certainly quite a few. On the other hand, The church has been very hard hit in mission countries. And that's because of the, well, the church has been hit. And a theory like the Anonymous Christians of Karl Rahner, meaning that you leave Hindus to be good Hindus, Muslims to be good Muslims, Buddhists to be good Buddhists. They don't try to course convert them to Christianity. That's Karl Rahner. And that has penetrated seminaries all over the world. And has done a lot of damage to missionary zeal. So, with all the more reason, it's not just the lady, because, look, the lady can be taken in as priest here. Any sign that the Jesuits may move into Russia to catechize. Well, I visited my Jesuits in Moscow. It is already on the faculty of Moscow, University of Moscow. But as I told my father general, whom I met in Rome, that I didn't put it quite in these words, but TU Moscow University is great, but to catechize the masses is a great need of Russia. But of course, whether it's teaching the University of Moscow or catechizing, it better be the true faith. For anyone who knows Father Jerome Palmer, who has been, he passed away this morning. Let's say Henry, he calls himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal rest granted him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful depart through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. Amen. Some of our Protestant friends argue that the Catholic Church is not at all the same as it was in the beginning. How do we know that it is? Well, you can certainly say that not all Catholics who call themselves Catholics are the same today as they were not only in the beginning, but they were even 25 years ago. So, that's one thing. But as far as the Catholic Church goes, of course it's the same. What's the proof? There's nothing which the Catholic Church teaches. Nothing. Zero. Now, which contradicts what she has been teaching for 1900 years. By the end of the 16th century, you talk about a Protestant raising the objection, as you say in Rome, Mamma Mia. By the year 1600, among the Protestant church chants, all kinds of them, there were 200 interpretations of Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood." And I would say the single clearest proof of the Catholic Church being the same today as she was in the beginning of the first century is that the Catholic Church today teaches that abortion is murder and homosexuality is a grave sin against justice. In your opinion, is there much hope for a full-scale revival in Western civilization such as occurred in the 13th century and the 16th century Catholic Reformation, are we headed inevitably for a new dark age of barbarism? Are there any signs in our times similar to the eras which preceded past revivals? Yes. And one sign is our meeting here. You people, I mean it. For me, I mean just you physically here in chapel. But the laity, this is unknown, I think, in the history of the church. And thank God the educated laity will have kept the faith and are concerned and strongly, I might almost say, ambitious to learn their faith, to deepen their faith. When they taught in the graduate school in Arlington, Virginia, Notre Dame Institute, all told, I taught there for 13 years. Over these years, most of my students, and I'd have up to 60, 70 in a class, graduate class. With rare exception, most of my students in these 13 years were lay people. Many in high positions in the government. And the real need is to mobilize, organize. And this is what we're trying to do here. Thanks for the question. Because I hope it brings out, it's really clear in my mind, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And that there are people, and of course, I pray that you are among them, lay people, who are so aware of the revolution going on in Western civilization. And there's no other way of saving Western civilization except by re-Christianizing it, or better still, re-Catholicizing it. And that we cannot depend on the clergy to do it. And only because of their numbers, and because in so many ways they have been hit by the revolution. So, yes, I am heartened. This question comes from an evangelical friend. She wants to know if the Jesuits are trained in military tactics or have any kind of military training. So I'm going to save this question. The answer is yes. But see, there are two kinds of warfare. Another kind of warfare, you know, the kind of wars that people commonly associate with the military. And the real warfare. Which is what the church on earth is. And I'm not being symbolic, my friends. I'm not being symbolic. Am I clear? Are you sure? In fact, whether we realize it or not, these meetings are part of the military tactics. You've got to know the enemy. And you got to train your own personnel. And then you let them loose. They've got to be organized. You've got to be able to take orders. And the orders, they help them. Not just the general of the Jesuits, but the general of the church militant. I have noticed that many Catholic publishers are advertising themselves as co-publishers of the New Catholic Catechism out in March. Will these be accurate translations? Example, Dorothy St. Paul, Wanderer, Elba House, and so on. Well, we had a meeting with the publisher of the Vatican Press, and I'm not sure how many were there for the meeting, but I met with the editor, and by the way, also, what you've got there, see, we are agents for Vatican Press and America. I use the word agents deliberately. And also for the cost for the family. So, and now the question about whether it be accurate translations. Well, you know that what I've said before. Pray. Pray for the English translation. But there will be only one English version for the whole English-speaking world, barring such changes as spelling of Savior, you know, O-U-R, favor, and so on. But keep praying. Thanks, I will. I'll pray. It is 8:30, but it is worth it, don't you think, even though we didn't get into the heart of the course proper. Now, I am home next Wednesday, and now, just to make sure that we got our signals straight, remember, these Wednesday night meetings, call them conferences in chapel, are meant for Ignatian and, for some of you, Marian catechists. I want to be clear about that. These are not classes in religion or theology. And consequently, they have to be, I guess, greater than maybe I have been so far, that participation in these classes is meant for those who want to, with God's grace, whatever, you know, your limitations of time and energy are, to work for the church as Marian or Ignatian catechist. Am I clear? Now, the two, among others, two conditions for becoming either Ignatian or Marian catechist are to go through the course. And secondly, to be made of 30-day spiritual exercises. And so that now, if you don't have the course material, what I gave you, therefore, was to order the course material. Understand? Let me tell you, there are, by now, there have been, I mean it, thousands of hours of dedicated labor given by people to make for the Ignatian Marian Catechism possible. And not one cent of pay. Am I clear? Because the one behind this is the Vicar of Christ. So that, in other words, in fact, it's embarrassing even to put that, to call it tuition. And the tuition here at U of D now, the undergraduate, is close to $300 for a credit hour for one semester. In other words, and I have to be even more blunt, the people that the church needs Yes, people who love Christ so much, they'd give anything, I mean anything, to extend his message to the world. The kind of people that we want, and the only kind that we need. So that those are not just, as I say, advertising slips. Am I still making sense? Okay. Shall we close with a prayer? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostri, amen. Regina, sine vobis originale concepta,
ora pro nobis.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we got tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and 1858. Remember? Less than 20 years before the definition of papal infallibility. So. Next Wednesday.
Could I have one more of those?
Please.